Hi, welcome to the 15th episode of Two Friends with Nothing in Common. My name's Manuela, and I'm going to tell a quick story about how Andrew and I have nothing in common. So, Andrew's one of those people that likes to name his vehicle.
Yeah.
So, like, he calls his car Henry, the Honda Civic. I don't do that, because I don't think there's a point to naming my car.
Well, like, you already have, like, this, like, attachment to the item or, like, the thing. And so it's just nice to, like, solidify it by putting a name on it.
But I don't think the car cares.
No, but, like, it just, like, shows, like, my affection for it. Before, don't do the intro music yet.
Your so affection
my
for your
sister,
car.
My sister has a Honda, and its name is Stella.
We'll talk about that later.
Anyway, she has a Honda named Stella.
Oh, we're still talking.
But yes, because I wasn't done talking yet. And she wanted to name it Rhonda when she first got it. But you can't have a car named Rhonda the Honda.
Why not?
It's too basic.
Anyway, so how was your week?
Well, I guess I won't tell you about the other car names in my family. But no, it was good. We have 2 weeks to recap on.
Oh, gosh.
But it won't be lengthy. I'll keep out the boring stuff, which was 80% of it.
All right,
but
so I'll just share my week. No! I'm just kidding. Go
good
on.
Good gravy. So anyways, 2 weeks ago, I went back to St. Louis, got to hang out with some friends from high school, got Fritz's, some quality frozen custard, if you're not familiar with Fritz's. And then we put a mannequin in someone's front yard at 11 o'clock at night.
Crazy.
Yeah. So, that was good. And then, actually, no, it was midnight. It was midnight. But anyway, so
wow,
then the next day...
Wow, that changes everything.
I know, so crazy. This darn lady was out letting her dog take a pee in the front yard when we first tried to go. But, so then on Saturday, the two of us went bowling with our friend Mayla, and that was really nice.
Oh, yes.
Because we hadn't seen her since East Asia, so it was nice to catch up with her. And then that evening, my sister came back into town. And so then we got to have dinner with their parents. And it was the first time we did that in a long time. So that was really nice. Then we, like, had a game night. And my dad, like, randomly said something like, hey, I think there's something you might be interested in looking at in the basement. And he pulls out this cardboard box full of vinyl records.
Oh, that's
that, like,
awesome.
I didn't even know my parents owned them. And so it was just, like, cool to, like, look and see it, like, the stuff that they had. They had, like, a Michael Jackson album, which I didn't even know my parents listened to Michael Jackson.
Secrets come out.
Yeah. And then it was funny, too, because there were two different albums that they had two copies of each. Because, like, when my parents were single, they each, like,
oh,
had
that's
it.
So cute.
Yeah, so it was Toto and Little River Band or something like that. So I thought
aww,
that was, yeah, precious moments. And then coming back from St. Louis, I brought back my Narnia books that had read growing up, because I stopped after the fifth one. There's 7 books in the series, and I just, like, I wasn't a fan of the fifth one, Voyage of the Dawn Treader, because, like, the way it's set up, each chapter is kind of like a different adventure on this bigger adventure, and it was just, it didn't, like, keep my attention. So I was, like, I, like, took a break from it at the time, but now, like, 15 years later, I'm ready to finish it.
Wow.
So I have time.
Better late than never.
Yeah. No, and I actually really liked it. It's the second to last one is called The Silver Chair, which I think is my new favorite book in the series. And I'm currently reading The Last Battle, which is, like, really good also.
Nice.
So, yeah, always like C.S. Lewis. And then on Sunday night, I Skyped my cousins. That was quality. Got to talk about our Ireland trip, Ireland 2020. It's going to happen.
Nice.
Yeah. And
hold you to it.
I now have renter's insurance.
Amazing.
Yes.
For your apartment?
Yep.
Wow.
So
I thought you were getting rid of the boring stuff. No, I'm just kidding. Go on.
No. So if you want to, like, completely devastate me, setting my things on fire is now not on the list.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now that means I can set things on fire and everything will be okay.
Well, everything will stay the same, but...
Well, okay. I guess that's what insurance is.
How was your week?
My past couple weeks were good. I got to go home over Labor Day weekend. So that was really nice. Well, I went home for my grandma's funeral, but that was okay. It was nice to see all my family and to hang out and stuff. And then I actually came home early on September 1st because I moved into my new apartment, nice. Which we're doing our podcast in right now. So that's really exciting. Yeah, so my parents and my friend Ricky helped me move in. That was over Labor Day weekend, so I've just been, like, chilling, unpacking, all that stuff. I officially unpacked my last box, like, last Saturday, so that was exciting. but, yeah, I've just had a pretty chill past couple weeks. Some of my groups at church started again, so I'm going back to, like, my ladies' group, and I went to my church picnic, so that was really fun. It's nice that I, like, have friends now that I get to see on a weekly basis. I've just been working every day. Something exciting that maybe happened. Oh, we had a group of friends over. We just played some games. That was fun. And just like our first time hanging out now that we're all settled into our homes in Springfield. So that was cool.
Yeah.
That was cool. It was fun. And then, yeah, I've just been hanging out with Andrew,
Mankey,
co-host. Two friends with nothing in common.
I like how you said my last name as if there's another Andrew that...
that I would ever dare to hang out with.
Well, I just mean, like, in Springfield, like, regular... I don't know.
But anyway, so, yeah, it's been really relaxing. I've been going to bed early, trying to wake up at a normal time. I love having my own apartment. It's so cool. I get to do whatever I want, whenever I want. after living with 8 girls for the past 3 years, living by myself is like a dream come true. and yeah, I'm cooking again because I have a kitchen that is all mine. And so that's fun. I like looking up recipes and buying stuff and making
it. Did you not cook before?
No. I always did like frozen foods.
Gotcha.
Because I don't have a microwave now. So I kind of have to, like, cook things. But I really like it. Yeah, I don't even need a microwave. So, yeah, that's been my past couple weeks. Yeah, I just had a lazy day last Saturday. That was, like, the first time I've ever had a lazy day in, like, the past month. So that was really nice. Slept till 10 a.m. That was, like, the highlight of my weekend. But yeah, other than that, not much has been going on.
Living it up.
Mm-hmm. Living up in this city. Anyway.
Yeah, so our guest today is our friend Erica Crawford, and she is going to talk to us about Girl Scouts.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Erica.
Talking about Girl Scouts.
You know, we were never in the same Girl Scout troop.
We were never in the same Girl Scout troop.
Was that kind of crazy?
But we did meet at Camp Butterfly.
That's right, we did. Erica and I.
On the sailboat.
Yeah, we went to Camp Butterfly and rode a sailboat together. I think Kristen was on it, too.
You rode with Kristen.
You're, that's right.
That's the most Girl Scout name of a camp ever.
That is.
Camp Butterfly?
Because the lake was in the shape of a butterfly.
Oh, I didn't even know that was why.
Yeah, like, there was the lake. It was kind of, like, it looked like wings, and there was, like, a narrow strip of land that, like, went in between it, so it looked like
How
a big butterfly.
Did you look at it?
Maybe some, like, maybe some leader lied to me and told me that. I don't even remember.
She, like, she came home from camp and looked it up on Google.
No, but, yeah, Kristen and I rode a sailboat together, and Erica just laughed at us because we had no idea how to do it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I tried doing it, and I got hit in the head with a sail, though.
Probably.
So how old were you guys?
I was probably, like...
You're probably in
12.
High school at that point, I thought.
I just said
12? Because did you meet Kristen in high school marching band?
But yeah, like, I met Kristen at Camp Butterfly first, I think.
Oh.
I think that was my first time meeting her, because I was like, oh, she seems cool.
Okay, you were not 12, though. You were probably at least 14.
I mean, okay, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
Anyway, so, yeah, tell us about Girl Scouts.
So I've been a Girl Scout since I was a brownie. Is that when you started? When
yes, I was a brownie.
And I think I did it because both of my sisters did it, and my mom was always a leader. So it's just a family thing, I guess.
Girl Scouts is family.
I did so much through Girl Scouts. Like, basically everything I've ever done in my life.
What'd you do? Give us some examples.
Like, we went rock climbing. I learned my early marketing and sales abilities.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
I hated it. It was awful. We went to a ton of camps. Like, we rappelled, sailboats, canoeing, like, all the outdoor activities.
Did you go on the Juliet Lowe trip?
Yeah.
To Springfield, Illinois?
Oh, no.
We
went to Georgia. We were hardcore.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Who's Juliet Lowe?
Yeah, Juliet Lowe is the founder of Girl Scouts.
But she's, it all started in Georgia.
Well, then why did I go to Springfield?
You were gypped on the
She lived in Springfield, Illinois.
That's
and my dad and I went with Girl Scouts on a train to go see the founding place of Girl Scouts.
Definitely.
Wow, that's awkward. Why did I go to Springfield?
But I like how you just had to look that up.
Maybe it was like the first Illinois chapter of the Girl Scouts.
I don't remember where it was at in
Juliet Lowe birthplace. I'm looking at girlscouts.org.
It was the same
place. You're right, Savannah, Georgia. So Girl Scouts started in...
Savannah, yeah. Why did I not think of that?
Yeah.
In 1942.
Yeah, I don't know when it started. So I thought it'd be more on Girl Scouts. Sorry, everyone.
Did you get it messed up with the capital of Illinois?
Anyway, so tell us more about your time in Girl Scouts.
It was pretty good. I feel like I was never friends with any of the girls in my troop, really. But then I just, like, moved up into, like, Kristen's troop, and then we were all friends.
And Kristen's your sister.
Yeah, Kristen's my sister. So, yeah.
So, the size of the group, like, each year it's like your brownies and your like cookies and then your
You wish.
I actually don't know if I remember that.
It was brownies, juniors.
Cadets.
No, it was daisies. Daisies were the babies. And then the brownies. And then the juniors. Right?
I think it was juniors and cadets.
Yeah, then cadet. I went all the way until my senior year of high school, and then my mom made me quit. And I was like, I could have been a lifelong Girl Scout.
I remember when you quit.
But she made me quit.
And I tried to talk you out of quitting.
Because I didn't want to quit.
When, did you go all the way? Or did
I went all the way to my senior year, but I didn't really do much towards the end. Because everyone else in my troop had already, like, graduated. So it was just me.
What do you call it when you get, like, the top honor, like the Eagle Scout equivalent?
They have the gold award, but I never did that.
Okay.
I'm a loser. I'm a loser Girl Scout.
And then, or what I was getting at earlier, by I got distracted by the interesting names. Yes. But does the group size kind of dwindle, like, as you go up? Or is it kind of like brownies, there's not many people, and then, like, middle school, it's like a big, like, the group is larger, and then back towards high school, it gets smaller again?
I feel like it definitely dwindles because like brownies is when everyone's in it because that's actually cool when you're that little, but then like junior high age, oh my gosh, that's so uncool to be in Girl Scouts. And
true.
Then in high school it's like not one person is in Girl Scouts except me, but you know, power through.
Gotcha.
So I had a friend one time tell me that Girl Scouts was like lame and that they just didn't like do anything ever and like all that stuff. I forgot how he put it, actually.
He basically said you don't do anything. It's like crafts, arts and crafts or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
So would you define Girl Scouts as just arts and crafts?
Definitely not. I think it depends on what troop you're in.
That's
so
very
some
true.
Some will only do arts and crafts, but that was like always my least favorite thing. Like I loved the outdoor activities and we were hardcore.
What are some things you learned from Girl Scouts and why should other people consider?
We learned how to make
Girl
fires,
Scouts.
Even though we may have not done it successfully. We learned camping skills and like all of these other like I talked about, like rock climbing and just like girl power. One of our Girl Scout shirts was a girl power shirt. It's great. We learned What would you say you learned in Girl Scouts?
on the spot.
I remember, do you remember when we would do, like, the, like, derby races and, like, you had to make a cardboard, like, car, basically, and then, like, ride it around the gym? I learned teamwork. I learned strength. I learned positivity. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I, like, hated selling Girl Scout cookies, but I always did it and got prizes.
I know. I hated it, too. It was awful.
My favorite was whenever we would have the stand outside of, like, Rural King.
Oh, yeah.
Rural King.
Yeah, our country store.
We had ours outside of Schneider's.
Amazing. But, yeah, we'd have it, like, outside of Rural King, and it was just like, hey, do you want to buy cookies? And people would be like, no. Yeah. And you're, like, 7 years old, you're like, okay.
Most of the time, you would say yes, just like you're a cute little girl.
Or I was like, I don't have money, and I'm like,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, you always have money, you're going to the store.
Yeah. So I learned rejection. I learned how to handle that. But yeah, I would agree with you because I did a lot of, like, we went to camp every summer. We went on, like, little camp retreats. I remember, yeah, like, always sleeping in cabins, but I mean, we would still do, like, things outside. We went rappelling, we went hiking.
Yeah. And especially leadership skills, because definitely towards the end of it, like, when we were, like, leaders at Girl Scout camp,
that's true.
Like, girls were always, like, looking up to us because there's only a few of us.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
What's the most obscure badge that you got?
Oh, I feel like our troop didn't focus on getting badges. Like, we would get random ones whenever we went to, like, a certain event.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But I was obsessed with badges.
I didn't have any weird ones.
I had a whole book. It was, like, 100 badges that your Girl Scout can earn. And I, like, went through all of them. Oh, and I was, like, I always had to, like, ask my mom. I was, like, Mom, I did this. So can you, like, fill out the paperwork to get my badge? So nice. Like,
do you still have them?
Yeah, I have all my vests. I have, like, my brownie vest and my junior vest.
Nice.
And then one year I got a sash because I wanted to be cool. I was, I'm a cool Girl Scout. I have a sash.
That's, like,
but then all my badges didn't fit on them. So I had to get a vest. I got a new vest instead.
So when you, like, move up, do you not, like, take your badges from the previous years and put them on the new one?
Just cut them out.
No, because, like, on my brownie vest, it was brown and it had, like, all these little badges on them. And it had, like, my troop number and then, like, all the awards I had won at camp.
Okay.
And, like, or all the awards for, like, leadership I had won on, like, underneath the numbers. And then I had all my, like, little triangle badges for, like, doing dumb things from that badge book. It was like, write a letter to an old person or something, like. So yeah, it was, like, really silly, like, badges that I got. And then, yeah, we would go to Girl Scout events and they would give us cool patches to put on, like, the back of your vest.
Okay.
And so I had all the cool ones. Like, we got to spend the night at the zoo one time.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
we did so much fun stuff. The city museum spend the night thing was, or no, what was it? The
Science Center
and the Magic House. That was We did some good stuff.
Did you guys, like, get to do everyone all night, or is it, like, designated sleeping time?
And... Oh, definitely designated sleeping time. But
and then, like, the troop moms were there. So, like, they were like, go to bed. We have to wake up tomorrow. And we're, like, 12, spending the night away from home. And we're like, no.
Yeah. Man, oh, man.
But, I love Girl Scouts.
I know. I want my girls to be Girl Scouts.
Why?
Because it's just a good time to just interact with other little girls and just understand more of the outdoors. And, like, just being up in front of people. Because, like, I feel like we did a lot of skits and, like, singing. So it, like, pushes them out of their comfort zone. It challenges them.
That's good, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times Girl Scouts can have, like, the connotation that we were talking about earlier, how it's just, like, something that you just do for, like, fun, and, like, people don't realize the kind of skills that are being built into little girls, which is very important. And it's, like, it was, wasn't it Christian-based, or did I make that up?
I'm not sure.
Maybe at one point. There's American Heritage Girls now, though, that kind of takes care of that.
Okay, never mind then.
Maybe put my girls in that instead.
No, girls.
I have a friend that's kidding. An advocate for it. She's Actually, Andrea, who was on the Scooby-Doo special, last week's special, little plug for that. But I'll talk about that later. Sorry. Keep talking about Girl Scouts.
It's funny because I still put Girl Scouts on my resume.
Oh, really? What do you put?
I put Girl Scouts 2002 to 2014.
Anything else?
Who doesn't know what Girl Scouts is?
I know, but still, like...
If you don't know what Girl Scouts is, you don't need to hire me. I don't need that job.
I'll find someone better. If you don't respect Girl Scouts, you don't respect
me. She has standards.
Yeah.
How funny.
Oh, man.
Okay, well, is there anything else that you've learned from Girl Scouts?
Not to run, because if you run, you have to hug a tree.
Yes. That was always...
That was the worst, though.
Yeah.
I hated that rule.
Why do you have to hug a tree?
Because it's embarrassing.
Because they didn't want you to get hurt running, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
They were very into safety. That's another thing I learned. Safety first.
Always. Yeah, Girl Scout camp was always fun because you got to, like, sleep in teepees. Never mind.
No.
That only happened once. They weren't even teepees.
We got to sleep in the...
it was all a lie.
The unfinished...
It was fake.
The cabooses were the best.
Those were...
That was so fun.
Those were the best, yeah. Except there were, like, mice in them sometimes, so...
The camp had a train?
At Camp Butterfly. Yeah, just random cabooses.
Were they sitting on, like, tracks?
Only the older girls got to sleep.
Like a little track.
Only the older girls got to sleep in the cabooses. So I remember, and you were already in the older girls' troop at the time, so I was, like, mad. Because when it was finally my turn to sleep in the cabooses, like, you were like, I've already done this.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, jeez. It's my first time being, like, a cadet.
What is your worst Girl Scout memory?
Oh, gosh. worst Girl Scout memory. Probably, like, any time. Never mind. There was one leader, and she had a daughter who joined our troop, and so then she, like, decided to be the other leader, and we were like, okay. I think because Teresa had left to leave another troop, so we got a new troop
leader
in.
Oh, she left to lead my troop.
Yeah, she left to lead yours. So we had a new troop leader, and she, like, brought her daughter in, and we were all like, oh, we know who this girl is, and like, oh. So we're all, like, just being chatty girls. We were in, like, fifth grade, I think, and so, you know, we're, like, getting older, like, we're just talking to each other, being silly and stuff, and the troop leader was like, girls, be quiet, and we were like, just in snack time, like, trying to talk to our friends, and she was like, you girls are just way too loud, and I will not have it. And so we're all like, oh, no. Like, so we all, like, kind of lower our voices a little. And then we, like, got a little bit too loud, apparently, because she, like, pointed at one of my friends and was like, you, go sit in the corner. She put my friend in timeout. We're, like, in fifth grade, and we're all like...
Wait, this is your peer or the new troop leader?
The new troop leader put my friend in timeout. And I was like... It's literally snack time, but it's fine.
Oh, you guys probably had Jello Jigglers, too. We always had Jello Jigglers.
No, we had better snacks.
No, we had Little Debbie's and Jello Jigglers. That's what we lived off of.
Okay, well, I was in a different troop, so.
So is that your worst memory, Jello Jigglers?
No, that was my best.
What was your worst memory?
So I went camping with our group to Holiday World in Indiana.
Oh, yeah.
And we were all in a tent. It was like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like around 6 of us in a tent. So it was like a pretty big tent. It had like separate rooms. And it stormed so badly that night.
Gosh.
There were huge trees around us, and it was like lightning and thundering. Probably the worst storm ever. And I actually thought that I was going to die that night. So I was just laying there in my bed shaking because I thought that a tree was going to fall off on us. That's all I could imagine. And then one of the girls had like eaten really badly that day and like eaten so much, and she got super sick in the middle of the night, and my mom was right next to like the door to get out, so she like woke up when the other girl was trying to get out, and she was trying to help her get the zipper open, and she could not find it, so the girl threw up in the tin.
Oh my god,
it was disgusting. It was like in the middle of the night, and then one of the other girls like was still sleeping and like thought that people were just being loud, and she was like, be quiet. It was just a huge disaster. It's not a good
drama.
Amazing.
Yeah.
See, Girl Scouts makes you be in situations that you never thought you would be in.
I know, like, and I, then, like, I've always dreamed of being in a tent with 5 other people and someone throwing up storm.
It builds character.
It really does.
I was going to say something like, you shared a bunk with Becky Palomino and she was on the top and she wet the bed and then it kind of, like, got messy, but that actually tops my fabricated story. So
yeah, that's a good one. Though. I feel like that was good. Happened. I remember like rats like running around cabins that we were in, and like girls freaking out. You know, you just gotta be tough.
For that one time, I went to Girl Scout camp and had to be a leader with a boy, and I was like, "Why are you here?" But it was like the owner of the camp's son.
Oh yeah.
And so he was just like allowed to be there.
Yeah,
and so I had to like be his partner one time, and I was like, alrighty, cool. Yeah. But yeah, it's cool because we were only like, I wasn't even in high school and they made me like a Girl Scout leader, which was awesome because I was like taking care of like 5-year-olds at the age of like 13. So it definitely teaches responsibility because how am I supposed to take care of 13-year-olds? I mean, never mind.
You were like that troop leader's daughter.
Oh, yeah, it was actually
okay.
This room is actually about me and my mom.
No! How the other girls felt about it.
No, my mom was not a troop leader. Just need to get that out there.
My mom was the best troop leader.
I believe it. I'm sure she was great. She's so nice. All right, Erica, so if you could tell the world one thing about Girl Scouts, what would it be?
Just join it if you're a girl, not if you're a boy. No boys allowed.
True.
Not like Boy Scouts. This is true. Girl Scouts. Yeah, it's just a good opportunity to experience the outdoors and craft time.
And crafts too.
Alrighty, well, thanks for being on the show. We're going to move into our drink segment, which Erica's also going to join us in. So I got this drink. And it is called Organic Handcrafted Fruit Ale, strawberry flavored. I've actually had this before, not this exact one, but a different flavor, and it was really, really good. So when I saw it at the store, I was like, oh, I'm going to get this because I've had it once.
What's the brand name?
It's called Samuel Smith. Hmm. It is a product of England. Yeah, it says handcrafted at Melbourne Bros Tiny Brewery Set in a Time Warp in Stamford using the old manually operated brewing equipment. Finest organically grown barley and wheat are used to create a complex ale, which have undergone primary and secondary fermentation with different yeasts and extended maturations. I don't know.
Sure.
Anyway, so Samuel Smith's, it's an independent British brewing company. It is blended with organic strawberry fruit juice. So let's see how this turns out. I'll open it while Andrew gets the cups. The last flavor I had was, I had the pear cider and I had the raspberry one as well. So those are the last two that I've had. And they are really good. So
let me get a porn.
Ooh, it's like orange.
I poured that wrong. Sorry, it's like all foam. I'll try it better.
What is this?
Cup. It's a cup.
It's a gold cup.
It's a cup that my mom gave me. Actually, I took it from her. But that's what moms are for, right?
That's the perfect pour.
That is the perfect pour. I did it.
No froth.
I did it.
Did you get
Andrew?
My glass is opaque, so we don't know how much.
It's like apple cider.
Wait, we got a clink.
Yeah, hang on.
Oh, it does smell like apple
cider.
Hang
on. Let me get that foam out of here.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure
that doesn't work. All right.
Okay. I got a lot of foam.
I know, me too.
Well, I like this. And
Erica's the only one who
I do not like very many things.
Oh, really? Erica hates everything. I do not like many things.
If you blow on it, does that make it dissolve?
No, actually, if you spit in it, apparently
it
works.
Should I do that?
Yeah,
wow.
Just do it.
Yeah, I feel
it.
Gross.
I completely made that drink. I completely made that up.
I like the line of spit coming out of my mouth.
How did you not catch that?
I added foam to
gonna do it.
There's still foam on top.
You're still drinking it?
I'm still drinking.
You just spit a lot in there.
It's my spit, though.
It adds whatever gets you through the day.
Would you not drink your own spit?
No, I spit all mine out into a cup.
And then I drink it.
Not as like a delicacy, but it's like a necessity. You're out in the woods, you know, roughing it.
Drink your spit.
Actually, this is pretty good.
I do like this.
Yeah. It kind of tastes like apple cider.
It does just taste like apple cider. That's why I like it. Yeah. Think- Murfreesboro apple cider.
Yes, apple festival. Mm-hmm.
This is my favorite of all the beverages we've had, I think.
Ale brewed with strawberry juice. So yeah, it's pretty good. Good. I'm glad this was a hit. I'm glad you guys liked it.
That's really kind of you. 10 out of 10. Actually, 8 out of 10.
Could be better.
I like drinking things more than this. Like water.
Bottled water.
I'm obsessed with bottled water.
I prefer to reds. Or I mean that I prefer those to reds. But bottled water is pretty good.
I'm dead. Does anybody want more before we move on? Nope. Okay, cool.
I'll just spill your glass.
Okay, guys, jeez. Andrew, you want some more cider to counteract your spit?
Sure. If there's not, you know, put more foam in there.
All right, so let's go ahead and move on to pop culture.
Alrighty.
Andrew and I watched a movie together for the first time in our whole friendship.
Which is a lie. You literally had an event each week called Friendship Film.
I know. I loved Friendship Film. We watched so many movies. But anyway, so we watched this movie called The Experimenter. And it is a study about Milgram.
Stanley Milgram,
and he does an experiment where he has someone who is a teacher and someone who's a student, and it kind of measures how people respond to pain when it comes to learning, right?
Yeah, like he was saying, like how children, they like when you discipline a child, like that's a like way of like teaching them to like do the correct thing. But his premise was adults, you don't really study that often.
Oh, okay.
So the people that were coming into his lab or whatever, that was like the premise of the study. But, or you can go ahead.
No, you're right.
Oh, okay. Well, so then the actual premise of the study was to see how people were handled, or how they handled social situations where they were instructed to do something that they did not believe in or disagreed with.
Oh, yes.
But just because of, like, social pressure or, like, someone else was, like, giving the instructions, they psychologically removed the responsibility from themselves and put it on other people. So in this situation, like Manuela said, there's the teacher and there's a student. And what they had was, it was, like, a test. And they would say, they had, like, a list of words, like an adjective and a noun, and it'd be, like, good boy, big dog, fat bear. And it would be like a long list, and the person would read into a microphone to the student, and the student was hooked up to this shock machine, and they would have to, like, the teacher would ask a question like, all right, good what? And then he'd give like four potential answers, and the student would have to reply the correct answer. If they were wrong, the teacher would shock them. And with each wrong answer, the shock would increase by a certain amount. And so eventually, like, you hear the student, like, from the other room, like, shouting. Because it's, like, yeah, it's painful. They're being electrically shocked.
Because the voltage goes up with every wrong answer.
Mm-hmm, right. And I should also specify, these are adults that are participating in the study. And they like, just meet each other when they first sit down. Mm-hmm. The instructor is giving them the information. So anyways, that's what Milgram did. The reason why he was like interested in this was because his parents were immigrants to the United States during World War I, and he had relatives that survived the Holocaust and were in concentration camps and stuff like that. And so he was just kind of intrigued by, like, how did this thing happen in Europe that, like, something that was obviously morally wrong, but, like, no one, or at least very few people, like, stood up to it. That was his study. It was very controversial.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie did a good job of depicting that controversy and also just showing, like, his side of it. Like, this is something that should be looked at. I wasn't, like, torturing these people or, like, treating them poorly. Because what it turns out, the student that was being shocked, it was actually someone that was hired by Milgram.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, at least some of it was like recordings.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, so the person wasn't actually being shocked. He was either, it was a recording of him or it was him just like yelling from the other side of the wall.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a very interesting movie. But what are your thoughts on
I really like experiments, and I like to see them or read about them and or, like, participate in them. So I was really interested in the movie because I had heard about this before, talking about how just how these psychological experiments can really get with people because they don't realize that they are, like, just, like, blindly obeying things or, like,
mm-hmm.
they don't always know what's going on. And I think that's a big thing too, because when I was in a research class for economics, we were talking about how we always, like, whenever you run an experiment, like, sometimes you are deceiving your testees because they don't know exactly what you're testing them on in order to, like, eliminate any kind of bias that could come out of that if they knew all of the information. So I think it was interesting how in the movie they, like, had someone point out saying, like, you are lying to everybody. Like, you're not actually testing what we think you're testing and stuff like that. And so I thought that was interesting that someone felt the need to, like, call that out and to say that to him. And he was like, well, that's not the point, or, like,
mm-hmm.
something like that. So that was interesting. I also thought the movie was, it had a really interesting, like, setup because it was, like, half the experiment, half Milgram's, like, personal life.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really neat and how it, like, intertwined, kind of.
Yeah.
so, yeah, I thought the movie was done, like, really well overall. Like, it all just kind of, like, flowed together. Yeah.
It was interesting, like, the guy that played Milgram, his name's Peter Sarsgaard. Milgram was, like, the main character in the movie, and then he also doubled as the narrator. So there are, like, multiple times that he, like, broke the fourth wall and was, like, looking at the camera and, like, walking, kind of, like, I don't know. So it was, I don't know. I didn't really like that as much because it was kind of, like...
Oh, I kind of liked that because it felt like I was, like, in it with him. Like,
it's just kind of, like, it was kind of, like, mm-hmm. not realistic. Like, it was kind of almost like a dream sequence, kind of. Because then there was, like,
mm-hmm.
some weird scenes where, like, the... Instead of them, like, being on a set or, like, outdoors somewhere, like, it was, like, an old photo was, like, projected on a sheet.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, they were, like, sitting in a car in front of it, and then they, like, get out of the car. And then, like, the image changes on the screen, then they're suddenly in this old house, apparently, but it's just another old photo projected on a screen. So I didn't really understand what the point of that was. And then later on, there was a scene where he was, like, allegedly in an elevator, but it was, again, just, like, an image projected. And so I didn't really understand that. But, like, it was a unique film. They did a good job mm-hmm. of, like, educating you on, like, different psychological theories and stuff like that. So it was, like, very educational, and it was interesting. I'm glad that we got to know, like, bits and pieces about his family life. Because, like, films like that, usually they just focus on the career. Yeah.
So what would you rate it?
I would give it a C+.
Okay.
Yeah, I liked it, but it wasn't like a, oh, this movie was so good, and
yeah.
I liked the way they did everything. Because, like, usually the way I judge it, if there's more than, like, one specific thing that comes to mind that I would change, I'd give it a lower rating. But I did like it.
Yeah, I would give it, like, a C2. Like, it was just kind of average. It's not a movie that, like, you're like, oh, I heard we should watch this. It's so funny. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's not one of those movies. It's kind of, like, a thinker, and it just makes you, yeah, it's kind of like going to school, but like, but I still really enjoyed it just because I personally like to watch these kind of movies mm-hmm. where like it's a psychological thing and like you're learning and mm-hmm. it's kind of like a documentary, but in like a theatrical way.
Yeah. And it takes place like from like the early 60s to the early 80s.
So yeah, I would give it a C because it was just like, it was okay. It wasn't like, it's not like my favorite movie. But I had heard a lot about that experiment in, like, my behavioral psychology class, or mm-hmm. my behavioral economics class. Sorry, I forgot what I studied in college. But, yeah, so it was cool to, like, see the experiment in real life because I was like, oh, yeah, like, I've always heard about this, but I've never actually, like, taken the time to learn more about it. So that's why I liked it.
Nice.
But, yeah, that's all I really have to say about that. So, quote jar?
Yeah.
Quote bag.
Yeah, we were missing our jar this week. We like to go back and forth, mix it up.
Keep you on your toes.
All right. The quote is, "I don't let friendship get in the way of me not liking rudeness." Is that for real or fiction?
You mean fact or fake?
No, for fact real or fake? Fiction.
For real or fake? For real.
Yeah, it's for real.
You said it. Oh, okay. Do I know this person?
Yeah.
I don't want to guess. I'm afraid.
Zeke.
Zeke! That is kind of surprising that he would say that. But anyway. Zeke was on one of our past episodes, Tanya Harding and Founding Fathers. He talked about Hamilton. He's a pretty cool guy. So we're going to end this show with a couple of exciting announcements. This is officially the last episode of season one of Two Friends with Nothing in Common. We are going to start season two soon. We have some new things coming at you, new segments, keeping some of the same segments.
Hopefully the soundboard will be back.
Yes, bring back the soundboard. But also, so one of our newest segments that we're going to have in our second season is going to be kind of a Q&A session. So we want our listeners to send us questions that we can talk about. And how will you contact us? Andrew? I was asking you and you were going to answer me.
I thought you were pausing for dramatic effect and then you just kept on pausing. Oh, we have an email address.
Yes, what is it?
twofriendswithnothingincommon@gmail.com.
Yes, email us.
Is spelled out. T-W-O.
No, it's just the number two.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh.
We'll have a link in our bio and in the episode description. Please email us. Otherwise, we can't start the second season without that. So
we can make up the question.
No. Any other announcements?
Yeah, check out the second special for this season. Another Scooby-Doo episode. We analyzed the first episode of Scooby-Doo of all time.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a long episode, so you don't have to listen to all of it, but I do recommend listening to the beginning because there's a funny story about how I met my friend who was a guest on it. I actually had two friends that were guests on it. And then also we critiqued the voice of Velma in the middle of the episode, and it's worth listening to, I feel like. But yeah.
Nice. Anything else before we end this show?
That is it.
Alrighty. Thanks for listening, everyone. See you next season!
Two Friends with Nothing in Common is produced by Manuela Lenz and Andrew Minky. Special thanks to this week's guest, Erica Crawford. Two Friends with Nothing in Common is recorded in the Ozarks.